Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. I pray that you are well, and that God is keeping you, sustaining you, and watching over your life. And we are in our study in the book of Acts. And today we are in Acts chapter 10. And we shall be looking at this man. We shall start to look at this man, Cornelius. And we shall see his interactions with Peter, and maybe we will not be able to take it all, but we shall be able to spend some time in it. Now, looking back from yesterday, we were able to see how the Bible tells us that there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, also called Dorcas, who was full of good works, who would give to the poor. She would also make dresses and tunics and give them to widows and the poor. And when she died, the Bible says that they placed her in an upper room and they sent for Peter, who was in a nearby town in Joppa. And they sent for Peter. And when Peter came, the Bible tells us that that the women showed Peter all the things that she has made as they were weeping. And Peter asked them to move out, sent them out. And then he knelt down to pray. And when he had prayed, he received the faith for the miracle, the faith to raise Dorcas. And he called out to her, "Dorcas, Tabitha, rise up." And he held her by the hand and she woke up. And that was to tell us that the secret of the faith of miracles, to do miracles, one is to know the Lord, to know His voice, to know what He wants to do at this point. We don't do miracles at our own will. We do miracles what God has already done. Even Jesus said, "My eyes, I only do what I see my Father does. I do nothing of my own accord." So this is not just a button that we want to switch on at will, but it is something that we see the Father has done and we follow. And by the time you're doing it at will, which is a liberty of the Spirit, you have gone through certain consecrations that the Lord has qualified you worthy. You see, when you think of Paul, there says there are things that I have not heard from the Lord, but this I say by concession. This I say by one who is counted worthy to give a judgment. That means God had given him a place of liberty that, yes, I might not have heard from the Lord, but I am at the level, I am at the place of liberty, I am at the place of authority that I can judge on this matter based on the wisdom that God has given me. So that tells us that there are things that God will grow us, there are levels to this, but ideally there is that place where we do what we have heard, we do what we have received faith for, and when we have grown, then God expects us to just act according to His will. Now that is just to summarize yesterday. But now when we are in Acts chapter 10, we see another person who is actually not a disciple. He is a Gentile. The Bible tells us that he was a Roman soldier. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea. And Caesarea was a town where there was the outpost of the Roman army that controlled Judea. Hallelujah. There was an outpost of a Roman army that controlled Judea. Now, if you think of the Roman Empire, that which they will do, they will conquer a nation, and when they will conquer a nation, they will allow the nation to keep its customs, to keep its beliefs, to keep its practices, as long as they paid tribute to Caesar. And what the Romans will do, they will send forth contingents, or they will have outposts of soldiers, and these soldiers were in places where they can easily control the nation, they can easily stamp out any rebellion. And Caesarea was one of these places. Now, Cornelius, the Bible tells us that he was a centurion. That means he was a soldier that was in charge of 100 men. Now, remember, when the Bible tells us specific things, it gives us a pattern for us to understand. Remember the centurion who had a sick servant, and when he called Jesus to go to his house to heal his servant, Jesus said, okay, I am coming. And they said, Jesus, this man deserves to be helped because he has been faithful to us and the people of Israel, and he has built a temple for the people of Israel. And Jesus said, okay, since this man has done this, he deserves it. And so Jesus said, I will come. But the centurion said, you are not worthy to come under my roof, but do this. I am a man who is under authority. I speak to one servant, do this, and he does that. And to another, do this, and he does this. And when they do it, then because they are men under authority. And so he says, you just speak the word and my servant shall be healed. Now, the centurion understood the power of the word. They understood the power of authority. And that triggered, it drew from the depths of Jesus. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in Israel. And by that, he told him, go, your servant is healed. And as he went, he met servants who came and told him, no, your servant has been healed. And he asked, he inquired, what was the time that the servant began to amend? And he was told it was the same time. He discovered that it was the same time that Jesus had said to him, go, your servant shall live. Now, this is another centurion who the Bible tells us that he was a devout man. And he was used to give to the poor. He feared God. The Bible tells us he feared God. You know, what we understand in this time, there are those who will come and worship the God of Israel. But then there are those who did not know the way. There are those who just had reverence for God without knowing him in the true way. And these are a number of people you will see. Think of Lydia. Think of who was a dealer in purple cloth. The Bible tells us she worshipped God and God opened her heart to hear the gospel. Now, this was another man who is a Gentile. And remember, at this time, the Gentiles have not yet received the Holy Spirit. The outpouring, and this was something that was to be revealed to the church. Now, the Bible tells us that there's a certain man called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. The Italian regiment was 600 soldiers. That means he was one of the six centurions in charge of each 100 men, making up 600 soldiers. The Bible says he was a devout man. That means he was righteous according to what the Israelites would call righteous according to the law, and one who feared God with all his household. This was a man who not only feared God but had his household fearing God with him. And this is something that you will see about God. God is not just concerned about you. God is concerned about your household, about your generation, about your lineage. Genesis 18 verse 18 says that, how can I hide these things from Abraham? Because I have chosen him, because he shall command him and his household and his children after him to follow after the way of the Lord. The reason God was able to choose Abraham, because he saw in him a certain authority, that he has the ability to command his household and his children after him to follow after the way of the Lord. And you see, this is something that moves God. And Bible tells us that this man was one that feared God, and with all his household, he gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now, the verse 3 tells us about the ninth hour of the day, and this is ideally ninth hour is around 3 p.m. And this tells you that he is, and the ninth hour was actually the time of the evening sacrifice. This is the time that the people will go into the temple in the ninth hour. And also, it was also the time that Jesus died. It was also the time that Elijah cried out for the evening sacrifice. So there are many things that are specific. So he was in prayer. The Bible says, at about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Power meets power. And when he recognized that this is an angel, he was afraid and he asked, What is it, Lord? This is very important about authority, lordship, lordship, lordship. Now, when so he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, this is not to say that his prayers and his alms, what he was giving to the poor, were going to take him to heaven. No. They came up as a memorial before God. That means that God could see that this is something that has come, that I need to act. But you see, I still need to show him the way of salvation. Because salvation is not by good works. Salvation is not by giving to the poor. Salvation is not just by just saying, oh me, I am a good man. This is a good man. No, there is more to salvation than just saying that doing good things and people praising you. Salvation is acknowledging and believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That means he is God who came as a man in flesh, and that by his death we can receive the forgiveness of sins and we are made sons of God. And then not only do we acknowledge him as our Savior, but we must also acknowledge him as our Lord. Our Lord means he is our owner, he is our deliverer, he is our protector, but it also means that we must come under subjection, under his leadership. We must come to the place where we can hear his instructions, we can be guided by him, and we can be taught the right way. So now this man Cornelius, he asks, what is it, Lord? And the Bible says, so he said to him, your prayers and your alms, that means your gifts to the poor, have come up for a memorial before God. Yes, good works are good, but they should come after salvation. They should be linked to salvation. They don't make us saved, but they are a product of our salvation. Now, because God was seeing this man, he is doing the right thing, but he doesn't know the right way. The Bible says, verse 5, Acts chapter 10, now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Angels, just as I pause here, angels are not given the message of salvation. They cannot understand it. It is only men who can preach salvation. Because to angels, they don't understand grace. To them, they were created in a time or in a zone where there is no mercy for them. When the devil sinned, he is judged in eternity, and as such, there is no mercy for him. But God made man to teach the principalities and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. And one of the greatest manifold wisdom of God is his grace. His grace, his grace. God showing mercy to man that man sinned, but he is still given time, that in this time, if he repents and turns to the Lord, then he can be forgiven. And of course, the other manifold wisdom of God is that God's dwelling in man, and that is a wisdom, and that is why angels long to see into these things. They long to understand, how is it that God lives in a man? How is it this God that they have never seen, that dwells in an approachable light, in whom that they worship, they have to cover their faces and their feet with their wings, and they worship and they cry out, holy, has chosen to stay and to dwell in feeble human beings. And that is why when we speak about God, the angels are listening. Why? Because we are teaching them. They are learning of the manifold wisdom of God. They actually are servants sent to inherit, to serve those who will inherit salvation. Angels are administered by God. They are at the command of God. Our job is to ask the Father, and when he sends forth answers, he sends them forth through his angels, who we have asked the Father. Even Jesus said, don't you know at this point, at any point, I can ask the Father and he can send legions of angels to rescue me. That means the way that we work with angels is we ask the Father and he sends forth angels to stand with us. Now, everyone has, God has placed an angel for each and every one of us. Think of when Jesus speaks of the children and he says, don't you know that their angels are constantly before the face of the Father? That means that they are angels that represent everyone. But you see, for everyone, as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our ministry, God assigns to us angels or ministering angels that work with us, that administer healing, that administer deliverance, that perform signs, miracles, and wonders. And even there are those that are sent with messengers. And these are messengers. Think of Gabriel. He is the angel that is sent with messages. So when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. I want to pause here for today because I want to just focus on this man and how he lives his life. He's a man of authority. He's a man who is devout. He's a man who gives to the poor. He's a man who prays. And the Bible says at that time, when he was in that time of prayer, then the angel comes and tells him, your prayers and your alms have come up to me as a memorial. I pray that God will give us insight into this, that we need the gospel. We need to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus. We need to know the right way. There are not many ways to God. I know New Age will tell us, oh, there are different paths. Oh, you can go through this religion. Oh, you can go through this. You can do this. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. The road to heaven is narrow and few find it. But the road that leads to destruction is broad and many are on it. Those that come to the Lordship of Jesus, those that come and submit to his leading, those that say, not my way, Lord, not so, Lord, not my way, Lord, but let your will be done, are those that are on the journey of transformation, those that are on the journey of salvation. Because when we come to the Lordship of Jesus, it is no longer about us. It's no longer about our wants. It's no longer about, this is what I want to do. It's no longer about me, but it is about, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Think of Saul when he encountered the Lord. He asked, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And he was told, go into the city and you shall be told what you must do. Likewise, Cornelius is told, go and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. See how the angel is very specific. He's like, yes, you'll go to the house of Simon, but ask for Simon, who is called Peter, and he will tell you what you must do. God's desire is that we are taught, and God sends us men who shall teach us. God sends us his servants who shall teach us. And I pray that when you find your teacher, when you find your teacher, stick with your teacher. Allow them to minister to you. Allow them to guide you. Be sensitive, not only to your human teachers, but also to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is our number one teacher. He is the one, the Bible, who Jesus promises that I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth, who shall guide you into all truth. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the heus. The heus, the Greek word there is heus, meaning the mature sons of God. You want to mature in your faith in God, in Christ, be led by the Spirit of God. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. Power belongs to those that are yielded. Authority belongs to those who are under authority. Wisdom belongs to those who are ready to be taught. Everything in the Spirit, everything that we receive from God is based on our yieldedness to His guidance, to His leading, and to His direction. Seek God today. Submit to His will, and He will guide you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your encouragement today that, Lord, we need to know You. Yes, we may do good works, but indeed, unless these are because we are saved, it is just a memorial. It does not make us saved. You desire us to come under Your umbrella, under Your leadership, under Your ownership, under Your guidance, that we know You not just as a Savior, that we love You not just as one that loves us, but we love You as one that is Lord, one that is Master, one that is able to teach us and to show us the way. And I commit this day before You, that, Lord, Your presence shall go ahead of us, guide us, protect us, touch us, O God. I pray for any that is unwell, that Your hand and power shall touch them, heal and deliver, O God. We thank You for grace upon grace. We honor You, we adore You, and we give You glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye.